singing Little Bitsy, yeah, to your old stomping ground. Whoa, we'll knock three times, and if you don't hear it say, yeah, yeah, nowhere to find me, it's one bar time. Bartown.
How's everybody doing tonight? So how about tonight's music by the Salty Dogs? Y'all like the Salty Dogs? The Salty Dogs from Little Rock, Arkansas specialize in neo-country and western swing. Having opened for Willie Nelson, Little Feat, and the Tennessee Three, the Salty Dogs have released three albums and are currently recording their fourth long player of original music. Together since 2003, the band has relentlessly toured the region, exposing new fans to their revitalist country music. They have CDs for sale after the show, and more can be heard at thesaltydogs.net. All right, well, welcome to Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, and to our second annual Ozark Music Show, where Southern singer-songwriters bring their own true musical stories to life. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and tonight's show is sponsored by William F. Lehman Public Library, all right here in North Little Rock, Arkansas. And I'm your host, Paula Morell. On my left here, strumming his 1931 National Resonator, is blues guitarist Mark Simpson. Tonight is our first night of our new set back here. What do y'all think? Y'all like our new set? So tonight's feature piece is by Little Rock painter Doug Norton and is a portrait of bluesman Robert Johnson. Is that this piece right here? We will put our feature pieces and a picture of this one on our website for our listeners, so you can go there, see what our feature piece is. If they're still available, they'll be for sale there on our website, and you can also learn more about the artist there. That will be on talesfromthesouth.com. All right, are y'all ready for some Southern Ozark-style storytelling? From Fayetteville, Arkansas, acclaimed singer-songwriter Shannon Wurst has just released her fifth studio album, Lionheart Love. Among other accolades, Shannon was awarded the 2011 Arkansas Arts Council Governor's Fellowship Award in Folk Music Composition, was selected the International Folk Alliance Official Showcase Artist in 2008 and 2011, won the Telluride Troubadour Honorable Mention in 2009 and 2010, was a Kerrville New Folk Finalist in 2009, was the NAMA nominated Best Female Singer-Songwriter in 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, and 2012, was the NAMA winner Best Female Singer-Songwriter in 2010, and NAMA winner for Best New Band with Three Penny Acre in 2009. Shannon was also a recipient of the Arkansas Heritage Grant to perform the Arkansas Traveler Program to school children, was selected with Three Penny Acre for the 21st Annual International Folk Alliance Official Showcase Artist, was the winner of the New Song Contest at Walnut Valley Festival in Winfield, Kansas, and was a semifinalist in Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion Talented 20s Contest. According to Bluegrass Unlimited, if there's any justice in this musical world, you'll be hearing a lot more of Shannon Wurst. Tonight, Shannon is here with her guitar and some stories. Ladies and gentlemen, Shannon Wurst.
Oh man, what an honor to be here tonight. Thank you so much for having me. I went to school here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I graduated, and I was longing for something a little bit different in life. And I was trying to think of the most random thing I could come up with to do. I had this new degree that I wasn't particularly excited about using. So I thought, well, maybe I could become a dog musher. You know, I'd never really been around much snow, and quite honestly, we didn't even have a dog as a pet. So I thought it seemed random enough that I could become a dog musher. And so, luckily enough, there was the internet available. I started looking up dog sled companies, and I just started calling them to see which one of those dog sled companies were going to hire me as their new musher. So they started asking me about my qualifications for being a dog musher. And I was, you know, kind of him-hauling around, and I was really good with people. I thought that would be a nice asset. And I got turned down several times for being a dog musher until this one gentleman sounded really desperate. He didn't have any mushers for the season, and the season was upon him. So he got basically cornered into hiring me as his new dog musher. And I wrote this little song about what it's like to be a dog musher up in Vermont. I learned to tell my left from right, which I have to say, I had problems telling my left from my right. I've always had this problem since kindergarten. So what we did is I just went ahead and wrote G and Haw on my mittens. And that solved that problem pretty good. Thank you so much. Well, I grew up in a little town called Alma, Arkansas. Have y'all been to Alma, Arkansas before? Well, you might know Alma as the spinach capital of the world. And if you do, I hate to tell you this, but you are wrong. Alma, Arkansas is now the former spinach capital of the world. So, it's a really sad thing, but as it turns out, I decided it's much more interesting to be from the former spinach capital of the world than it ever was to be from the spinach capital of the world. I had to find something else to write about other than spinach, about being from my small town. And, well, we were known for two things in particular, one being spinach, and the other one was those rhinestones and denim coats that cult started making back in the 80s. It was a little risky to write about it because I'm pretty sure there's still some followers, and I think it makes my mother a little nervous, actually, this song. But there is a song called Edith Opal, and this was inspired by those rhinestones and denim coats. Christian pool hall and that canning factory, Interstate 40, exit 13, where all the girls dream of being beauty queens, or movie stars and models in glossy magazines, but you got stuck like Mudbury boots. Yeah, you married away your youth. Edith Opal, pretty in your wedding gown. Edith Opal, you can't take it back now. Oh, but would you if you could somehow? So missionary, you fame cunningly, all the Christians gave you wholeheartedly. Yeah, they loved you till they knew your scheme. Like a kiss from Judas, you weren't who you seemed. No, you met your match. Yeah, you met your mate on the day you met. Thank you. same small town. Well, you guys are wonderful. Thank you so much. Paula must have warned y'all pretty good about making sure you clap real good and all. I'm going to sing you a song off my new album, and it's actually one of my favorite songs to sing off the new album. And I recorded it up in Bozeman, Montana. It's kind of a destination album. I wanted somewhere to get away and just really focus on the album. This particular song was the very first song that I wrote before I wrote all the other ones that would be recorded on this album. And it's an unrequited love story, and I hope that you don't have any like that in your life. But if you do, then I hope this one particularly speaks to you. This is called Montana.
Tell that big sky I said hello. Don't need you no more.
going to do one more little story song here for you. Then we're going to have Paula come up. We're going to do a duet together, right, Paula? We hadn't really worked that part out. Maybe next time we can do that for you. Has anybody heard of the big old festival? It's a songwriting festival down in Kerrville, Texas, called the Kerrville Folk Festival. Yeah. It's a real good place to be. I've been going down there for maybe just 5 or so years now. And if you like to write songs or like people who write songs, and I hope you do, I recommend that you go try the festival out. It's not for the faint of heart. It is an 18-day festival. But don't feel like you have to go the whole time if it's your first time. My friend Connor Garvey, who lives up in Maine, we like to write songs together, and he was en route to the Kerrville Folk Festival. He stopped at my house in Arkansas, and I had a few hydrangeas. Like any good Southern woman, I had a few fresh-cut flowers in the table in the living room. And there were some hydrangeas I had out in the yard, and I was explaining I wanted to share my knowledge. I guess I wanted to impress Connor Garvey on my Southern flower knowledge to let him know that hydrangeas, they change color depending on what type of soil that they're in. My hydrangeas were really blue, and I was hoping that they hadn't said a whole lot about myself, because I had started writing the song, and it kind of sounded a little bit sad. So Connor decided that he would jump in on the song, and we would just turn it into a little duet. As it turns out, this song is about a fickle little flower. Now, you won't get the full effect tonight because I'm going to be both the man and the woman tonight, so you're going to have to use your imagination just a little bit. But the premise of the story is that the woman keeps changing her mind depending on where she's at and what she wants. And the man comes along and decides to change himself so that he could fit with her, and as soon as he does, she changes her mind. This is called hydrangea. Hydrangea, hydrangea, you don't change your name, your place, your color, only your shade. I cannot change us, and I'll change for you. Hydrangea, hydrangea, now what shade of blue? Stuck to break away. If I were the ocean, I'd be wild and free. So come back and find me the shade of the sea. Hydrangea, hydrangea, you don't change your name, 'cause I've been the sea, and you're not the same. I cannot change us, and I'll change for you. Hydrangea, hydrangea, now what shade of blue? The ocean's too salty and the waves too loud. I'm free, I'm quiet, I'm the space between the clouds. So come back and find me when you learn to fly and blend with the color, the shade of the sky. Hydrangea, hydrangea, you don't change. In the sky, and you're not the same. But I cannot change us, and I'll change for you. Hydrangea, hydrangea, now what shade of blue? The season's too cold, there's gray in the sky, blue in the raindrops where the clouds do cry. I fell with the rain. Change your name, 'cause I've been the sky, the sea and the rain. I cannot change us, and I'll change for you. Hydrangea, hydrangea, now what shade of blue? Hydrangea, hydrangea, now that's it. I'm through. Thank you so much.
so much, Shannon Wirsch, for being on our Ozark Music Show here on Tales from the South. Think that being from the South and the Ozarks specifically influences your songwriting?
Well, I think that it's pretty much ingrained in me. I think that it's not so much where I come from, but it's definitely a perspective on life. It's the way I think about it. It's the way that we think about things that I'm able to, when I go to other places, process where I'm from. For example, I was touring with a good friend of mine. Her name's Rebecca Lobey, and We were up in New England doing some shows, and we were out on the interstate, and we were in the HOV lane, which I had never seen before. and I asked her what it meant, and she, of course, had good reason to make a lot of fun of me, so she thought. And I said, well, I'm really good at driving really fast and safely on dirt roads. Come from Arkansas, we know how to do this kind of thing. This whole HOV thing is not as important when you're living in Arkansas. So I think it's not only in my songwriting, but also in my lifestyle.
And so when you were talking about your songs, you said you went, and as I understand it, you went to Montana and wrote songs there. Did you write a lot about being back here, or?
Most of the songs from the album I actually wrote before I went to Montana.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, on the way to Montana, I was freaking out just a little bit because I actually didn't have enough songs to record, but I was in the car driving there, so I thought I better come up with some stuff pretty quick. Nothing like a deadline to make you do a little work, right? But yes, most of my songs are all about my experiences from living here in Arkansas and traveling otherwise. You know how you always miss home when you're away from it, and then when you're here, you can't wait to get somewhere else.
Right.
That's the way that goes.
How important do you think storytelling is, both in your songs, but also spoken as a cultural thing here in the South?
I think it's really important. We tell a lot of stories. As a matter of fact, my stepdad Ed here, who just happens to be passing by, he's the storyteller in our family, and I think there's always been a sense of that in our family to be a good listener and to be a good storyteller. And I love hearing people tell stories, and I love reading stories. And especially I'm drawn to that in people's songwriting. There's a lot of different types of songwriting and different songs that are great, but it's always those story songs that I come back to, that there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, and also a moral. Those are the ones that I really love so much.
So you talked about your stepdad. Do you have a favorite family story from...
I have to admit that I knew you were going to ask this question, and so I thought it would be really fun to poll my family about when this question is asked, what family story comes up, and I got a variety of answers, I'll have to say. I feel like in my story, in my family, there's so many like tidbits of stories. There's not these really long stories. A lot of them come from my mom, who happens to have 52 cousins.
Oh
my
gosh.
There's all kinds of family stories of people meeting each other that didn't know so much that we were related. That's a pretty Southern kind of thing, I think. My stepdad's pretty famous for his alien in the bucket story, which a friend of his supposedly found an alien and put it in some formaldehyde and got invited to Unsolved Mysteries, and they question him at the Tulsa airport about what is exactly in the bucket. Rotting alien carcass doesn't go over well at the airport.
Right.
So that's a favorite of his. And then I also pulled my sister, and she's like, well, you should tell the story about the neighbor Becky and our horse. And then I thought, that is the family story. My sister was obsessed with horses growing up. We didn't have a horse, so that's why she was so obsessed with them. We shared a room, and they were postered all over our rooms. But she had convinced our parents to purchase her a horse. And when she turned 16, as you could probably guess, she didn't really have much to do with the horse anymore because she had a car and more important things to do in life. But... as it turned out, we had a house fire, so we had to move away from the house. But our neighbor came over to take care of the horse. The horse stayed there on the property while we were gone. And she was this older lady, and she really took very great care of this horse and did it very passionately. So when we moved back in, she wouldn't let anybody else in the family touch the horse. It was pretty much her horse at that point in time. And she was so serious about it that we kind of all stepped back, and that was fine. So the horse was getting kind of old. This is a sad story. There's house fires and horses dying. So the horse died. So I'll tell you that. It was old. It had a really good life. It was well taken care of, for sure. Yes. So we were having a little dinner party at the house one evening, and she called on the phone and asked if she could come over. And my stepdad said, "Well, we have company." And she said, "Okay, I'll be right over." And she comes in, and, you know, she's a really sweet lady. But she would say things like, "Jesus told me to tell you," and she would follow it up like things like, "You look like an Indian." So we never knew exactly, you know, where she was or what she was about to say, but she had brought over the imprint of the tombstone that she decided to have made for the horse to put in my parents' yard. And it had a lot of writing on it. It had the heritage of the horse, its entire name, birth date, the whole thing, owned by Ed and Ginger Carr, which I think they were a little embarrassed to have their names on a gravestone, so prematurely and all. And my mom said to her, "Well, Becky, you took such good care of this horse. We think that your name should be on it too." And she replied, "Well, it is." And she pointed to the upper right-hand corner, and it said, "J plus J to the 10th equals exclamation, exclamation." And all we said was, "Okay." So to this day, my parents have a really lovely tombstone in their yard that y'all should all come and visit.
All right, we have a few minutes here at the end for audience questions. So if you'd like to ask Shannon a question about her music or her life or whatever you'd like to ask.
Okay, you really piqued my curiosity earlier. What was your degree in?
Oh, has nothing to do with what I do now, but it's in interior design. I studied interior design at the University of Art. Are you an interior designer? As you're pointing to her, yes, nice. We have so much in common. Don't come to my house and judge, though, you know. It's just, you had to get a degree in something.
Okay, I understand you're from Alma. Do you have any stories about Altus, Arkansas, and do you know where it is?
Well, yeah, there's wine served there. I tell you, I do know where it is, and I have been there. And there was a point in time that I used to always participate in the annual grape stomp in the making of the wine. My dad and I would go down there and play music for the annual grape stomp. So, yes, I love Altus, Arkansas.
Have you ever written any songs that you can't record because people are still alive?
You know, I've been called out on this last album because it's a pretty personal album. All the stories on there are true, and they're about somebody in particular. And I decided I was just brave enough to do that. But there has been several incidences in which I'm writing a song, and I'm like, I hope nobody ever reads this. And I think to myself that, well, when they pass away, this will be the perfect time to release this album.
Have you always been a singer? Did you start out as a child singing?
Well, I've always wanted to be a singer, and that's probably not the same thing, actually. But I can remember in music class when I was really little, I sat in the back row because my last name starts with a W, so I was the last one. But I was always the loudest singer, so the person in front of me, she would always turn around and, like, look at me, like, what are you thinking? And, of course, I would get really self-conscious about it. But, you know, I just kind of kept on singing and, you know, kept on pretending, like, I'm a singer, yo. I'm just singing all the time. And then I realized several years ago that I am a singer. That's what I do. It's pretty great. So live your dream.
So thank you so much, Shannon Wirsch, for being on our Ozark Music Show here at Charleston.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Paula. Thank you.
Shannon has CDs for sale after the show, and more can be found out about Shannon and her music at shannonwurst.com. So how about our storytellers tonight? Thank you to our live audience, and thank you to UALR Public Radio. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and our official media sponsor is AY Magazine, Arkansas's leading lifestyle publication at aymag.com. Tonight's show is sponsored by William F. Langland Public Library, with additional support provided by the North Little Rock Visitors Bureau, the Writers Colony at Derry Hollow, and the Oxford American, the Southern Magazine of Good Writing. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Stitcher Smart Radio, and you can download and listen to our podcast on our website. More can be found at talesfromthesouth.com. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week at Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, for another edition of Tales from the South. Good night, everybody.
Writer accommodations provided by Robinwood Bed and Breakfast. More at robinwoodbnb.com. Experience Tales in person as a member of our live audience. Schedule and ticket information can be found at our website, talesfromthesouth.com. Thanks for helping keep the art of Southern style storytelling alive, and we'll see you next week, either on this station or at Starving Artist Cafe, for another edition of Tales from the South.